In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey everyone, welcome to In the Loop. Before we get going here, we want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Exxon and Mobil Synergy Gasoline. Exxon and Mobil Synergy Gasoline is engineered to provide better gas mileage, lower emissions, and improve engine responsiveness with seven key ingredients. Stop by your nearest Exxon or Mobil station today to experience Synergy Gasoline. Hey there, time for a podcast. Big show ahead. And Chris, a big guest next week. Why don't you break the news right here now?
Well, we're looking forward to having Giants legend Tiki Barber on with us next week. Our producer reached out. I guess he was doing some work with Compass, and he agreed that he'd come on. So Tiki and I are in communication now, and he'll be on next week.
By in communication, you mean you've reached out to Tiki.
Tiki and I are in touch.
Tiki's a man of his word. He'll come on.
He has not yet reached back out.
Tiki and I are in touch.
Let's leave it at that. Hey, you're back from Georgia. I know all the listeners were really curious about how the trip went.
Really good trip.
Obviously, Hurricane Irma struck the southeast. You were down there pretty much as the storm was making landfall. Why don't you take us through it, and then we'll get to the thrifty car rental situation after.
Sure. Okay. So, as we discussed last week, we're thinking the storm is going to hit. We're going down to Hilton Head in Savannah Thursday through Sunday. The storm's not looking to hit there until Monday, Tuesday maybe, so we're thinking we get some nice days, get out of there before the storm. We land in Savannah. We're in the rental car going to Hilton Head. It's like 45 minutes away. And my girlfriend says to me, Savannah just issued an evacuation order, so not good. Meaning the airport's going to be closed. So almost immediately, before we're even checked into the hotel, we're trying to make flights to get out. And the only flight we can get is a 6 a.m. flight Saturday out of Atlanta, Georgia, which is 5 hours from where we were.
5 hours.
By car.
Cinco.
Little Honda.
Cinco Oros.
Little Honda Ascent. Beautiful little sedan, white. I'm behind the wheel, crushing it. And
all five?
Oh, yeah. So,
wow. Good boyfriend.
Right. Well, I was the only guy signed up. My girlfriend's kind of by the book. She also didn't
good
want to
excuse
drive.
By Kim.
Yeah,
I
totally,
like that a lot.
Totally good excuse.
Yeah.
Now that
the
I
paperwork.
It. I
right.
was had right, now that right, I say it right, out loud. Right. And so we spent one night in Hilton Head, beautiful, on the beach, nice dinner. Next morning, get up because it's an evacuation. So like everyone is going in that direction. So yep. we don't want to be in traffic all day. Drive to Atlanta, 6 hours, 5-6 hours, a couple stops, gotta pee, Starbucks, etc. And ended up actually having dinner with a buddy of mine and his wife who had evacuated Miami. They were also in Atlanta. Nice dinner. Get up at 4, back to New York, land at LaGuardia before college game day even begins.
Nobody saw that coming.
Whirlwind of a couple
of days.
A
true whirlwind. A lot of Georgia that I saw and a lot of evacuees. We stayed at a big Sheraton in Atlanta.
So I'm guessing and knowing no specifics about this conjecture, Atlanta must have been a very popular destination.
Hugely,
a lot
yes.
of evacuees.
Yes, so
right?
The main roads going into Atlanta, I believe it was I-75 West, is just completely slammed. People came north from south from Florida, excuse me, and then people were coming west, you know, if you were on coastal Georgia, South Carolina, anything like that. And it was just like a nearest major city where, you know, you're likely to know people or there's a lot of hotels to stay at. So my hotel, there were multiple schools staying there. Most people were evacuees. And then I'm sitting there like a moron. Everyone's asking us, like, where are you evacuating from? We're like, no, we came here intentionally.
Chris,
we
taught a history just gonna class ask that. For a middle school.
How many people were on the flight going down?
Not many. Not yeah. many. Very empty flight. And we
not
were all
a lot of people headed that way.
I can't believe you went.
Well, look, man, at the end of the day, they have ordered an evacuation 5 days before the storm was going to hit, which I didn't see coming. Bad job by me. There were enjoyable moments and some, you know, tough moments.
So let's get to the tough moments involving thrifty rental car.
Wow. Wow.
So
I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, you got into a little back and forth with them on social media.
A little back and forth?
As everyone who listens to this show knows, we are a player in the Bachelor, Bachelorette community.
Season 11.
We have Bachelor Nation on our side.
Season 11 specifically.
That would be Andy's season.
And what's the guy's name who retweeted you?
Jared Hybon.
He's so gone, by the way. He's not just
100,000 followers retweets your attack on Thrifty. Before you know it, the masses are attacking Thrifty.
Yeah, so a little context. We picked up the car in Savannah, and then we're saying, you know, what if they close? They're like, well, you know, you can take it to another airport or whatever. Then we find out, oh, Atlanta, it's an extra like $150, which, whatever, you know, it's not necessarily about the money. I just felt like they were taking advantage of the situation because the Savannah airport's closed, and anyone on coastal Georgia, South Carolina, is going to have to drive to Atlanta most likely to fly out. So they were just, it's just a money grab. So we're going back and forth. All of a sudden, the Bachelorette, Bachelor Army gets involved. And while I did not get the money back, I do feel like I got my pound of flesh.
You know what I mean, I think was interesting about this whole thing?
Sure.
There's a lot that's interesting
is
about
that you, there was a certain amount of miles, right? You had to be inside to not get hit with the fee.
Yes, 200 miles.
And so how you were 39 miles outside.
Yes, yes.
That's tough.
So we asked, so I'm DMing with Thrifty.
Kind of feels like they made it up. It was that close.
No, it feels like they picked Atlanta because it's just outside of the 200 miles, so they could still charge people. But they make it sound like they're being friendly to evacuees. Note, Thrifty, awful car company. Don't use them.
First of all, I've never.
We already knew that.
I've never even heard of this company.
Not a good.
Second
sign.
Of all, do all companies like Thrifty have someone DMing with customers?
For sure.
Oh,
is
definitely.
That common practice.
Well, especially during a situation like that, because the last thing you want to do is have people saying you're taking advantage of a natural disaster. It's very bad publicity.
And then that social media handler had to go and explain to his boss that some Bachelor contestant had retweeted an attack on them and the masses were now descending.
That's the part that makes me feel good inside. And then, you know, big shout out to Delta, big shout out to Starwoods Hotels. They were super cool. They let us like transfer, cancel everything for free, you know, in a time of need. And Thrifty decided to try to make a money grab.
Credit where credit is due.
There you go.
Salute. Big birthday this weekend.
Oh boy.
Kloop is what we're calling it.
So the name of the weekend,
I don't know if I've told Kloop this yet.
No, I've heard whispers through the grapevine and I love it.
Is CL30P if you spell it out.
It's kind of Kloop, but the three is silent.
Yeah, so we don't really know how to pronounce it.
Thank
that.
You for the pronunciation.
You add an extra O. Kloop. Silent three.
So that is what we are branding this whole celebratory weekend. 30, let's not, you know, get in the weeds about it here, but we're all really excited. Kloop.
Listen, feel free to join us Saturday. We're going to be out to Battle City.
We're going
to
be all over the place.
Come to Fiddlesticks.
I was wondering as you were doing that little rant.
Come on over to Fiddlesticks.
If you were going to say the name of the bar.
Celebrate Kloop.
And sure enough, you did. Someone's going to come and like, kidnap you, dude.
They're going to... Hey, look, if you're a fan of the show and you want to come hang out with the boys, we welcome that. I like that you just shout it. And it's very hard to tell that there's a three in there.
It's different because it's in all caps, too.
No, I love it.
You kind of have to shout
it. It's like the Derek Jeter thing, you know? Like, respect with the two.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So,
when you say it like that, you can see it.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Fiddlesticks, Bar, NYC, Canelo. Come
down.
Watch Canelo Triple G.
Yeah, you come
with
to my apartment
after.
On Broome Street.
We're watching the fights.
All right.
It'll
okay.
Be
all right. A lot of personal information flying around now.
It's fine. So,
but we're looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, it's weird.
So you got about what 3 days left, huh?
Yeah, the Saturday turns out it's the last day of the 20s.
It's better that your actual birthday is on Sunday opposed to Saturday.
No, because that's when you take all the inventory and Saturday's over. It's the weirds could be really.
Oh, Sunday's going to be a weird day. Saturday's going to be a good day.
Sunday's going to be a day of reflection, for sure.
But, Chris, and I think the weirds would be as bad as if the birthday were on Saturday.
I get what you're saying.
If you're not thinking about it on Saturday, then...
Dude, Sunday's
going
to be a weird day either way.
Yeah,
pal.
Sunday
for
you're
all
have
of
a
us.
Weird day, all right?
For all of us.
Yeah, anyone involved in Saturday is having a weird
Which
Sunday.
A lot of you are going to be.
So, I don't know if this is going to sound like an insult, but I don't think about... Like, I think you're ready to be 30. I don't think about you like you're in your 20s. You know, you got it together. You got your life together.
Yeah, I got a pretty good deal. I got an investment portfolio.
You're rich, dude.
Yeah, you're into the Bitcoin
Kloop
and all that
so
stuff.
So much
you
money.
Got a good girlfriend.
I got two cavities today by choice, which was stupid.
Yeah, you're
hurt
cleaning
like
up
hell.
That mouth. You're going through hell. To
cleaning
get that,
up the chompers.
To get that smile perfect. Yeah, I think you're ready, dude.
We're pretty excited for Kloop.
Kloop. Hey, yeah. Chris, did you hear about my, speaking of Kloop, my run-in with the law yesterday in the subway?
Yeah, but I didn't really understand. Did you try to go out the exit door?
Yes, because...
Not cool, right?
Because the machine at the West 4th stop that I always use is extremely difficult to swipe. And I have been standing there for minutes at a time before, like, literally
so
not able to swipe in. And so occasionally I'll scoot through the exit door. And yesterday I was with Zach... And I did that, and there were two cops right there just waiting for me.
So, Kloop, I walk, because I can do the subway thing. You just swipe it through and then push. I walk through, get through, cops standing right there. So I'm kind of just standing right next to the two cops. I turn around, knowing Alex has trouble with this machine, watching him miss, scoot through, Johnny Hardo cop. Pulls him
such
over.
Such a hardo, Chris.
Gives him a hard time for having the out-of-state Connecticut ID.
He basically said that if I do it again and I have the out-of-state ID, that I'm going to get arrested.
What does the out-of-state ID have to do with?
I don't know.
Well, Alex was like, I've lived here for 3 years. He's like, oh, you lived here for three years. Why do you have the out-of-state ID?
Yeah, didn't update the old ID.
Only, he's like, it's usually only 30 days. And when he said usually, I was like, it doesn't seem like this guy exactly is locked in on the rule.
And then he started talking about, he's like, yeah, like if you're crossing from Kansas to Missouri, usually they like you to have the ID where you're
living. I wanted to be like, usually or always?
So, it was not enjoyable.
He's like, look, in the Midwest, pal, they'd really nail you. Okay,
but I can't figure out, I know it's a bad machine, and I swipe cleanly at subway stations across.
You got a great
York
swipe.
City.
People know that about you.
But I will be standing there swiping at this machine and while other people are just flushing.
Did you mention that to Johnny Law?
I was trying to explain it, but you can imagine how stupid that sounds.
You're like, listen, officer, I got a great wrist action on my swipe, 9 times out of 10.
I wanted to ask you guys to go, like, let's go to the tape.
He was saying that I only tried to swipe 3 times, when in reality, I really tried.
Is there a minimum you're supposed to hit before?
Exactly. I was like, sir, with all due respect, it was at least 6 or 7.
Then the card later that night, we turned out to have insufficient fare anyway. So if he had, in fact, gone back and tried it and flushed, it would have said insufficient fare.
And we would have had the same problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any which way you spin it, I was...
What you did was not legal.
No, I broke the law yesterday. Yeah. So...
There you have it, folks. Sort of. A confession.
This has been a wide-ranging and informative introduction.
This is our intro. And then we're going to talk some college ball. We're going to talk some NFL. We're going to bring back Lupica Locks. But you tune in for this banter off the top.
So let's do NFL Week 1 recap, look ahead. College football recap, look ahead. And Lupica Locks. Zach, we'll have much more coming up on In the Loop, but first, this from Barracuda.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit Barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
All right, let's do some NFL. Zach, Packers, Seahawks, probably the biggest game of the week going in. Obviously, you were successful. Chris has some nice things to say about Aaron Rodgers. Do you think it was more that the Packers defense has improved or that the Seahawks offense still has some problems?
You'd like to think the former, but it's hard to tell. We've only played one team. We do have this new defense installed called Nitro. Shout out Dom Capers. He's awful, usually. But they were getting by their line every time pretty easily and only allowed 6 points, which is a good sign.
And your boy looked like your boy.
Yeah, he almost threw a pick six. I think would have been his first pick six at Lambeau ever on the first drive. A guy kind of picked him at the line, and there was a block in the back. But, yeah, 311 yards, touchdown, MVP favorite, Tom Brady, get behind him. You're second now.
C-Loop, you want to add anything to that?
I do. I actually have a lot to say about this. It bothers me the way that you let off because I wanted to say something nice about him. Makes it harder when you go in that hard.
He is now the MVP favorite.
Okay, fine. All right. Take it easy. So listen.
I'm just giving the users facts. Cool.
All right. I'm going to give people more
say
of
say what you were going to say before Zach and Noah.
Okay, look. As an unbiased, I watched a lot of that game, pretty much the whole game. And I just thought to myself, watching Rodgers it's different than watching any other quarterback in the league. There's more responsibility on him. The game is more a reflection of him. And there are more things he does that are completely unique to anyone else in the league. Like the snap count thing. No one else does what he does with drawing guys offsides. It's actually pretty amazing that he's the only one of all the quarterbacks who can figure out how to make that work. He's just athletic enough to get 4 or 5 yards on third down if he has to.
Yeah, with his legs. He gets a lot of third downs.
There are very, very few quarterbacks in the NFL who can do that. I just think it's sort of like LeBron James, because more is asked of him than is asked even of Tom Brady, because he just does more things, and the team is just a total reflection of Rodgers. And I was able to... That was my big takeaway from that game.
The other thing that you bring up the offsides is he's the only quarterback in the league that has the presence of mind to recognize when the defense is scrambling and is able
right.
To
didn't
get
he hit him for a touchdown
on 12 men on the field?
On a 12 man on the field.
And then on the last drive, he threw an interception, because I was watching at work on mute, and he throws an interception on the last drive, and we're kind of just trying to run the clock out. And I was like, "What just happened?"
Yeah, Earl Thomas picked it,
He had the 12 men again.
Yeah,
and he gets more 12-man penalties and more offsides penalties than the whole league combined.
It's one of those things where you're just thinking to yourself, this is such a productive tactic. Amazing that no one else does it.
The way
it's
he plays the game cerebrally is like nothing I've ever seen.
So it's a combination of his hard countability and his awareness. For
and his intelligence.
It struck me too that more teams aren't working so hard to be good at that. Getting a free play and getting to chuck the ball down the field.
That was his only touchdown.
It's something that only he takes advantage of.
I do feel that it is a high wire act, and you can't do it unless you are sure that your offensive line and your quarterback are on the same page.
Right,
because other thing that can happen is you just get a ton of false start penalties that can be drive
but
kills.
You know he's pounding that and pounding that and pounding that in practice.
Right, you're thinking like if the Giants could pull that, Eric Flowers would probably fall asleep if they tried to do that. But if the Giants did that, you could just throw bombs to Odell Beckham Jr. like and see what happens.
I also feel like the refs give him more leeway with it. Like they don't blow the play dead as much as they do with other teams. Or maybe he's just doing it right.
What is the rule there?
I think it's if the offensive lineman can't flinch. So the defensive line has to jump without the offensive line then flinching, because then if they flinch, then it's just an encroachment penalty, no free play.
Gotcha.
Are you happy with my analysis? Did that make you happy?
Yeah, it kind of did.
Thought Zach, what's going on with his love life?
He's single and crushing
it. Is he single?
Oh, yeah.
And he's dating?
Oh, he's out there. Yeah, he's on all the apps, Tinder, etc., and he's crushing.
Do we like him single? Do we want something
steady? We need him single. Munn tried to ruin his career.
Chris, do you agree here?
That's where I draw the line with the Rodgers praise, you know?
So
I still follow Munn on Instagram today, and I realized today that I still follow Olivia Munn, and she's very active on Instagram, and the only reason I followed her to begin with is for Aaron Rodgers stuff, and now I get none. So I got to unfollow. I got to unfollow right away.
I mean,
she is attractive, but
unfollow,
you know.
Chris.
Yeah, unfollow. Come on.
Okay.
All right. Unfollow. Talk to me about Giants Cowboys, Chris. Where to begin?
You got to begin with the offensive line for the Giants. I mean,
it is amazing that they have gone this long with a shitty offensive line.
Well, I mean, it's amazing that they had a shitty offensive line last season. They did nothing to address the offensive line in terms of a change of personnel, and I don't know what outcome they expected this season. I don't know what the Giants think. Eric Flowers, their left tackle, first-round pick 2 years ago. The guy's terrible, and it seems like they are just stubbornly keeping him in the game because they don't want to admit that it was a terrible pick.
Not addressing your biggest problem is an interesting strategy.
Right. They bring in Brandon Marshall. They draft Evan Ingram to make the offense more explosive. It doesn't matter who you have, wide receiver, tight end, etc., if you can't block for the quarterback, and Eli doesn't trust his blind side, clearly.
So how much of it is Odell, and does it even matter if the O-line is going to play that bad?
Well, I think Odell has a big impact on the game. The defense has to change their approach scheme-wise dramatically. But I'm still not sure if that... I mean, we'll have to see, right? When Odell comes back, we'll see if maybe having him on the field allows the offensive line a little more breathing room. But to me, it was the biggest concern coming into the season, and you watch the first three plays against the Cowboys, and you're like, here we go again.
Two first downs in the first half.
Not enough?
It was very hard to watch.
And look, the Giants, the window is closing. Eli only has a few good years left in him. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have the mobility to escape pressure. And if he's constantly under duress, he's not going to be able to be successful. You know, as a Giants fan, Sunday Night Football, you're watching the Carrie Underwood theme, getting going, juiced
up. I love
up.
Carrie Underwood.
Zach loves her.
That song is so good. Yeah, it is very good.
Who's waiting all day for Sunday night?
That's true. I'm not. I hate Sunday night. Little Sunday night game coming up. Maybe you heard of it.
Yeah, we got Packers-Falcons next weekend. That should be really good.
It's actually this weekend. It's right after Kloop.
Kloop. Kloop. Raiders really performed well, look great with Marshawn, but the story of the game is Tony Romo in the booth. Zach and I were kind of going back and forth on this. Obviously, everyone's seen the mashup where he's predicting the plays. Do you think people are going to start to get annoyed by it?
That's a good question. I was actually, funny enough, I was going to ask you the same thing. Like, it's cute week one, but then all of a sudden, it's like, do you need to say spoiler alert here, Tony? I don't necessarily want to know every play and what's going to happen.
I don't either, but I think it's more than cute. I thought it was wildly impressive.
Well, look, the thing that I'm wondering about, and Zach, maybe I don't know if you have a guess here, there's a lot of other quarterbacks and a lot of other ex-players who are in the booth. Do you think that they also have an inkling of what's coming next play-by-play, and they just don't say it?
Definitely.
Like in baseball, how often does the analyst know what pitch is coming?
A lot. I mean, they do that in baseball.
Yeah.
They'll be like this. They don't do it necessarily as much as what they know is coming, or is if there's a pitcher, like if Smoltz is in the booth, he'll say what he thinks that the guy should throw.
So do we think he's going to continue? See, I think situationally it works really well. But if you're doing it too much, then I agree.
I think it's like an audible. Like, okay, he's checking out of this, probably going to this. I think that's when it's kind of cool.
I actually thought it's bet. I'd rather have him tell me what the defense is doing than him tell me what the offense is doing. Like, this guy's blitzing off the corner.
Right.
That makes it more interesting to me. If you're like, hey, he's going to just run it left, I'm like, oh, well, I can change a channel.
So we were going back and forth about this a little bit on G-Chat Club, but I was saying that now that he is a star broadcaster, every time a head coaching job opens up, his name is going to get tossed around. Because every time some attractive ex-player or coach gets on TV and does well, they become more qualified to be a coach.
Yeah, and I went back with you on this. It's just saying, I know Gruden is the example you're thinking of. I hesitate to think Tony Romo could
Chauncey
go.
Chauncey Billups?
Yeah, he went to what, team president, though?
Yeah.
He's not going to
Still.
It would be quite a leap for Romo to go from the booth to head coach. But hey, I mean, nobody thought he'd get to the booth after 2 hours of retirement. So.
All in all, what did you think? Like, are you in?
Well, anybody who works with Nance, he's just going to make you better, right? Nance, like, must make you just feel so at home in there.
I know.
Like,
he just throws a very catchable ball.
I would love to hear Nance kind of just, hey, Tony, just be yourself out there. You know, kind of talking to him before
that. I mean, they had a great lead-in. You know, Nance is talking about how they've been practicing for so long, and Tony's kind of like, yeah, I told you before, partner, I got the butterflies. Oh. It's opening day. And he kind of grabs him a little
wow.
bit.
Wow.
There's a lot of touching, dude.
Yeah, they got very...
They were close and all
Yeah, Nick Faldo's going to get pretty upset if he keeps seeing too much touching
very
of Nance.
Jealous. Like, Romo's top button isn't undone, but it is somehow looser than Nance's. You know, he somehow looks more casual.
With the CBS
dude,
jacket.
Well, you have to look more casual than Nance. He demands it.
I'm going to wear a CBS jacket to my wedding.
The CBS jacket is so nice. Yeah, you should have all your groomsmen.
Everyone at Kloop will be wearing one.
Yeah. We're getting to everyone the CBS jacket.
I love the
man,
name.
Man, those things are nice. Anything else on the Raiders? You know I'm bullish on Derek and Marshawn.
No, nothing else. I was a little surprised. I thought Tennessee was a hot team going into it, and the Raiders looked really good. And the Raiders have done well in that 1 o'clock window going west to east.
And they get the Jetties at home this weekend, which is always nice.
Yeah, you got McCown coming to town.
I think they're 14-point faves for the first time in like 20 years because they're playing the Jets.
But their schedule gets tough after that, so we'll see.
A lot of bad teams out there, Kloop.
The Colts.
A lot of bad quarterbacks out there.
Tolzien and the boys from Indianapolis didn't look great.
Who Who is your awful quarterback of the week?
It's Tolzien.
Is it Tolzien or is it Savage?
It actually, people tweeted about how Andrew Luck looked like the MVP of the league by not playing. Because it's like, if this team is this bad without Andrew Luck, he must be amazing.
It's like when Peyton got hurt.
Tolzien's like, and look, Curtis guys, Painter, we gave up 46. So what did you expect?
Yeah, I didn't want to blow any touchdowns because we were down 46.
You know,
I had a lot of big plays.
You know, I love Tolzien. He used to be the Packers backup. Won us a couple.
Yeah, I think
games.
He went to Wisconsin.
Throwing two pick sixes is remarkable.
Yeah, early on the road,
dude. So I'm watching kind of the corner of my guy. I'm thinking, God, I love Tolzien. First play, pick six. I'm like, God, maybe he's not as good as I thought he was. Maybe I was wrong.
Bang, pick six. But Savage, Chris. We were all on the Savage train, right?
No.
He has everything you need in a QB. He's got the name. He's got the look. Wearing number three. You know I love that. He just has no game whatsoever.
First quarter of the game, I tweeted out from our account, I wonder how long the Tom Savage era is going to last. Little did I know it would only last another 20 minutes.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If you're going to now start Deshaun Watson, which they are tonight, you probably already watched the game. What is the argument there? Like, if your original argument was that you're waiting to get Deshaun ready to start him, how are you now going to start him game two after Savage is off?
Or at halftime of game one? I completely agree with you. It makes Bill O'Brien look like an idiot.
It just, you have to admit you were wrong, I think, right?
You basically, yeah, he's like, you know, Tom was out there, he looked great. And it's like, come on, man. You if you weren't going to do it at halftime, you were going to do it in the first four games. Just put him out there. You know what I mean? And don't put him in there at halftime when you're down 20 already.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I mean, I'm glad they're starting Watson, but it, this is something you've harped on for a long time.
It's a weird thing to do, especially if you're going to... Look, if you're going to like let him sit out eight games or a full season, which never happens anymore, fine. But don't just put these guys in a position to fail.
We'll have more on In the Loop coming up, but first we have to tell you about Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. College Football Club. Let's talk about last week. Before we talk about this week, begin with Baker planting the flag in Columbus. You didn't love the apology.
The apology was bullshit, Kloof. I'm with you.
Was it a smug apology or was it a genuine apology?
Either way, you shouldn't have done it.
The question is whether the apology was sincere at all.
Or they made him do it.
Or did somebody just say, like, look, we got to clean this.
Because,
the ladder,
dude, here's
Chris.
My thing. He. It's not like it was like a jerk reaction to something. This was like a minute-long, drawn-out thing that he did. So, like, he can't bounce back on that. Like, you got to double down. Like, he was waving the flag, and then he sprints all the way out.
He knew exactly what
he was
doing.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
He had been thinking about it since 13 for 13 to close the game. So, it's a thing, Kloop, at the Red River Shootout.
That's what he said.
Is that what he said in his apology?
Yes.
I find it hilarious that he, in the apology, said, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. It's like, well, you planted a giant Oklahoma flag at midfield at Ohio State.
And then he's like, I should have done it in the locker room. And I'm like, Baker, the video of you doing it in the locker room is still getting out.
So, in my opinion, somebody just said, hey, like, let's not let this be the story. Go get in front of this. I don't blame him for doing it because at the end of the day, he still got to plant the flag. But I thought it was an awesome move at the time. Why
dude,
not?
It was,
I mean, it's
so cool.
It's fun,
huge,
man. It's college football.
Dude, if you watch the whole video, he's waving it like in the tunnel kind, and then you can see he makes a decision and he brings everyone out to follow him and do it.
What, if anything, does it do? Does it move the needle for the Heisman, Chris, in any way?
Well, right now, the Heisman looks like a two-man race between Baker and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has an opportunity this weekend, home against Clemson, to get a signature win. But Baker's win at Ohio State, that's as good of a regular season win as you can get, and he played like a stud.
Especially, dude, with the Big 12 that he's going to be able to rip apart.
No question. I put him as the favorite.
So one thing
that
I saw about the apology that kind of made sense is that college football is this thing that is controlled by humans, and the Heisman is also. So this is just a way to deflect negative attention by coming out apologizing, makes him look better for the Heisman, and just makes Oklahoma look better in general.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the hardo Heisman voters.
Right.
You know? But
didn't
I
respect
think
it.
You're getting my vote because of that, Baker.
In general, it makes it like a more indelible Heisman moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like more. That is a classic signature
Heisman
win.
It was so cool.
You're right, Alex. That's on the reel. You know, if he's walking up there in New York in December to get the trophy, that's 100% on the reel.
They probably close the reel. But
look,
right.
and that's his personality. You know what I mean? Like, he's not. That's who he is. He's a fiery guy. He likes to compete. Like, I like it. I like all of it. And I also think that that's part of what makes college sports fun.
Is he the best player in college football?
Well, Lamar Jackson's up to his old tricks
again. Is this kid going to win another Heisman?
It's so hard to win two Heismans in a row because...
they don't want you to.
You're competing against yourself from last year, and the newness factor has worn off.
But if he blows him out of the water, well, stats-wise, like he did last year, they're not going to be...
No, he has as good of a chance as anyone that I can remember to do it again. And tomorrow night is a huge... or, excuse me, Saturday night is a huge, huge stage for him to get revenge against the defending champions on his home field.
And then a team in a game again they played last year, and he should have won.
What was the game last year headed in
Clemson
where you guys were worried? Clemson?
Yeah, at Death Valley last year.
And they should have won. The guy ran out of bounds instead of getting a first down on the last drive. They were going to go score and win.
But a game he played ridiculously in. And it ended up being
just
as much of a
Heisman. I mean, last year the
Heisman
race was over after 6 weeks. He was scoring 7 touchdowns every day.
So, Kloop, the best pro prospect looked like the best pro prospect. Darnold. And you love this kid.
Yeah, I was a little worried about USC. Stanford's had a lot of success against them. I love the way they just out-physicaled Stanford. That's not easy to do. USC looked as good. I mean, Oklahoma's a bigger win, but USC's for real, and Darnold is the real deal.
Do you see them there at the end?
Z-Loop, what do you think?
I do love Darnold.
They're a bunch of good teams, man. You know?
It's going to be great.
The whole top 10 is really, really strong.
This is the year of the returning good quarterback. Like, how many good quarterbacks that were good last year? You know, you got Jackson, Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Mason Rudolph. The list goes on and on. So this looks like pro football almost, how well these offenses are playing.
Fun really. Fact, Chosen Rosen scored a touchdown on his last 10 drives.
Chosen Rosen's going to Memphis at noon on Saturday.
Wow.
And I wouldn't
Is there
be so
anywhere
sure that
you want to play besides Akron at noon?
A nooner.
Army playing Ohio State this weekend?
Yep.
I don't know, but you know Army's 2-0 and has completed 2 passes.
All I'm saying, Ohio State, trap game. Watch out.
You never
yeah, imagine
play the armed
that's
forces.
What a spot. Like, you just lost on national TV. Now you have to go get mauled by the armed forces.
It's really tough. Zach, before we get to the Loop of the Locks, I want to get a little Windians out of you.
Wow.
What is going on with
what the hell is going on?
What the hell is going on with this team? Why is this not the all-time record? Some team in 1842 had 25 wins.
1915
Middle
Giants.
Civil War.
The 1915 Giants.
Had 26 wins and 1 tie.
Where was the tie?
The tie is because they used to play doubleheaders and they didn't have lights. So you got to a certain point...
that's not a winning streak.
Once you got... well, that's being debated. But according to the Elias Sports Bureau, it is. And that's who you go with.
Elias is the all-knowing,
all-powerful... of statistics for every sport.
Can they still get to it?
Yeah, they're at 22 right now. They need to get to 26. They
got
4 against the Royals.
It could be
over.
Could be over
by Kloop.
Yeah. By the time it's Kloop. One more baseball item. Chris, have you heard about this Japanese kid who throws 100?
Is this Otani?
Otani?
I'm locked in.
Zach is just telling me about this kid yesterday. Throws 100, hit 40 bombs.
27.
Oh, I didn't know that he was like a dual threat.
Dude, he throws 100. He's got a career like 2-3 ERA. Last year he hit 296 with 27 homers.
It's that movie with Brendan Fraser, Chris. What is that movie called?
The Scout.
They call him the Japanese Babe Ruth.
What a film The Scout was.
He throws 27, or no, he's 3 strikes on every hitter. Perfect game for the Yankees.
Exactly.
Frazier mows and hits dingers. If you haven't seen it, go back, watch The Scout. Excellent stuff.
So, Zach, teams are going to bid on Ohtani now?
Otani.
Get right. I need him in New York.
Is he doing one of those weird workouts, though, first?
No, here's the strange
thing. Ohtani doesn't work out.
Here's the strange thing. Right now, he's 23. So if he comes over next year, he'll be 24. If he comes over next year, he can only make $20 million. If he waits another year, he can make as much as he wants. And they're saying he's still going to come over next year.
He wants to get here.
He wants to get
here. $20 million is not bad.
Yeah, but compared to $200 it is.
$20 million a year or total?
No, total.
Oh, okay.
But if you're Otani, you're like, I'll go over there, rake for a year.
Endorsements.
And yeah, endorsements.
I get a right guard deal right out of the chutes.
I was also saying today about baseball, it's going to be a very good October. You're going to have the Nationals play the Cubs to play the Dodgers, probably.
Love.
You're going to have the Red Sox playing the Astros to play probably the winner versus Indians, Yankees.
Yankees are almost definitely going to be the one-game playoff.
Yeah, they're three games back of the Red Sox.
See, that gives you a little juice, Chris.
So there's a lot of good Verlander on the Astros. Kershaw trying to cement his legacy.
How tough are the Dodgers going to be to beat?
The Dodgers have won like two of their last 18 games.
So is Vegas even down on them?
Yeah, the Indians are the favorites now.
Indians are the favorites to win it all.
Yeah, Indians are only four games back of the Dodgers now for best record in the league.
That play, the Jake, gets rocking.
It's not the Jake, but
progressive, whatever. Clue, make the people some money, will you?
Tyler, hit the music. Time for some Lupica Locks.
This is Lupica Locks.
I'm a million-dollar man with a billion-dollar plan. From Wall Street to Tokyo to Hollywood, all your big money is going to stay and play with me. That's right. That's why they call me the million-dollar man.
Lupica Locks.
You better lock it up. You lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I have been a rich man, and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking.
God, Kloop, that is music to my ears.
Man, I remember when Tyler and I built that thing. What a joy.
It really holds up, doesn't it?
Sure, that's a timeless piece of art.
So you guys whip us around, and then we'll give the people my John O'Malley Memorial lead pipe lock of the week at the
Stone
end
cold
of the show.
Lead Stone pipe, cold, the mortgage the lock.
Put the farm on it. Lock of the century, but you start us off.
All right, Zach, you want to go me give all four, or you want to go, let's go 1-1.
Sure.
Let's start Friday night because everyone wants to make a little coin on Friday to get themselves ready for Saturday, especially my big day. I got USF, South Florida, home versus Illinois, laying 17, my Friday night special. Basically, anytime the public's on an underdog and the public is on Illinois here, you got to fade that. USF returns to Tampa post-hurricane, and there's going to be emotion in the stadium. They're going to lay the wood, lay the 17.
You're saying a little emotion in the ocean, huh?
Oh, very nice.
Woof on the dog there, Clue. Keep going.
You want to go back and forth?
Yeah, you go.
I mentioned this before. If you're playing a noon game, is there anywhere... Do you want to be playing in Akron, Ohio?
The Rust Belt at noon?
Answer... No. Iowa State coming off an emotional loss to the Hawkeyes. Giving 10.5 to the Zips at home at noon. You want to be watching this game. You want to have the Zips. Take the dogs.
I couldn't have said it better myself. All right. You want to talk
Akron
about...
Akron at noon?
You want to talk dogs? Let's talk dogs, my man. I have Tulane getting 35 in Norman, Oklahoma. I mean, this is just a letdown spot. You got Baker hobbling around. Huge emotional
trendy
victory against
team,
Ohio
win.
State. He's putting the flag in the ground. There's no reason to put it on Tulane. Bob Stoops, famous score runner-up, is not there anymore. I feel like Mayfield's out by the third. They're going to win big, just not too big.
God, betting on Stoops not to run it up. I love it.
Yeah, Stoops is trying to get 70 on Tulane.
I'm going to the NFL.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Steelers.
Love it.
Giving 5 at home. Getting 30% of the action against the Vikings. You take the Steelers at home, getting 30% of the action, period, you win.
Yeah, you're fading. Look, as great as Bradford looked against Saints, it was the Saints. As a guy who's playing with the Saints in his online Madden franchise, they suck, okay? Plain and simple. All right. I got Memphis +3 versus UCLA. I have no comment on this game. Don't do anything. Don't think about it. Just do it.
Against UCLA, yeah.
Yeah, Memphis
home +3.
I mean,
if Memphis is
three,
only getting 3 against UCLA, you take them.
It's the stinkiest
if
number on the board.
If they're getting 10 here, you take UCLA.
Agreed. It's the stinkiest number on the board. Memphis getting a field goal, and you just hold your nose and you jump in the dirty water.
I'm taking AR-12 at night, getting 3. You're giving me points with the pack. I'm taking them every
time. Oh, that's an emotional pick.
Yeah, going into Sunday night, going into Atlanta. Atlanta's done.
Chris, emotional pick.
That's one that you want to stay away from, the emotional pick. All right. Lastly, I got Florida laying 4.5.
I am
so convinced the Gators cover this number that I'm actually concerned that they won't. Coaching advantage. McElwain over Butch Davis. Huge. Tennessee couldn't stop the run against Georgia Tech. Good luck doing it against Florida at the Swamp. You know, McElwain humped the dead shark nude. And you got, again, you got post-hurricane emotion in Gainesville. I think it's a blowout win against Tennessee.
You're riding the post-Irma emotion this weekend.
Look, when emotion is good in these spots, that's really kind of not relevant for Gainesville and Florida, but I mean the hurricane was, but not for this game. I just think it's a huge mismatch.
Zach, you're taking us to the octagon here.
Yeah, the ring actually. Gennady Golovkin.
I believe it's Gennady.
Shut up, Kloop.
Kloop, shut up.
Or I'll take you right off the invite list.
I thought Kloop. You were taking us to the octagon.
No, it's boxing, dude. Triple G versus Canelo. Triple G laying the -180. He's got 37 wins, 33 by knockout, 0 losses.
Straight out of Kazakhstan.
Give me the Kazakh.
Kloop, that's going to be right after the Kloop festivity.
That's phenomenal. I can't wait
You're
to watch
turn
that.
You're going to turn 30 during that, dude.
I'm going to turn 30 as Golovkin is standing over Canelo.
All right, the John O'Malley lead pipe. Chris, the first rule of gambling... Never bet against the armed forces. The Black Knights at Columbus. Zach, how many are they getting?
I don't know.
I think it's an even 30.
Even 30. Ride the Dogs in Columbus. The triple option. Buckeyes coming off a tough loss to Oklahoma. That's a lead pipe lock of the week.
And with that,
Kloop,
we see you when I'm 30.
We'll see you when you're 30. You're going to be the first 30-year-old host in the history of this podcast.